But he'd kept his hat. He'd woven a new wide brim for it, and he'd had to restore the crown once or twice with fresh bits of robe, and most of the sequins had been replaced with bits of shell stitched on with grass, but it was still his hat, the same old hat. A wizard without a hat was just a sad man with a suspicious taste in clothes. A wizard without a hat wasn't anyone. Although this particular wizard had a hat, he didn't have keen enough eyes to see the drawing appear on a red rock half hidden in the scrub. It started off like a bird, then without any time being other than smears of ochre and charcoal that had been there for years, it began to change shape. He set off towards the distant mountains. They'd been in view for several days. He hadn't the faintest idea if they represented a sensible direction, but at least they were one. The ground shivered underfoot. It had been doing that once or twice a day for a while, and that was another odd thing, because this didn't look like volcano country. This was the kind of country where, if you watched a large cliff for a few hundred years, you might see a rock drop off, and you'd talk about it for ages. Everything about it said that it had got over all the more energetic geological exercises a long time ago and was a nice, quiet country which, in other circumstances, a man might be at home in. He became aware after a while that a kangaroo was watching him from the top of a small rock. He'd seen the things before, bounding away through the bushes. They didn't usually hang around when there were humans about. This one was stalking him. They were vegetarian, weren't they? It wasn't as though he was wearing green. Finally, it sprang out of the bushes and landed in front of him. It brushed one ear with a paw and gave Rincewind a meaningful look. It brushed the other ear with the other paw and wrinkled its nose.
"Yes, fine, good," said Rincewind.
He started to edge away and then stopped. After all, it was just a big, well, rabbit, with a long tail and the kind of feet you normally see associated with red noses and baggy pants.
"I'm not frightened of you," he said. "Why should I be frightened of you?"
"Well," said the kangaroo, "I could kick your stomach out through your neck."
"Ah, you can talk."
"You're a quick one," said the kangaroo.
It rubbed an ear again.
"Something wrong," said Rincewind.
"No, that's the kangaroo language. I'm trying it out."
"What, one scratch for yes and one for no, that sort of thing?"
The kangaroo scratched an ear and then remembered itself.
"Yep,"
it said. It wrinkled its nose.
"And the wrinkling," said Rincewind.
"Ah, oh, that means come quick, someone's fallen down a deep hole," said the kangaroo.
"That one gets used a lot."
"You'd be amazed."
"And what's kangaroo for? You are needed for a quest of the utmost importance," said Rincewind, with guileful innocence.
"You know, it's funny you should ask that."
The sandals barely moved. Rincewind rose from them like a man leaving the starting blocks, and when he landed, his feet were already making running movements in the air. After a while, the kangaroo came alongside and accompanied him in a series of easy bounds.
"Why are you running away without even listening to what I have to say?"
"I've had a long experience of being me," panted Rincewind. "I know what's going to happen. I'm going to be dragged into things that shouldn't concern me, and you're just a hallucination caused by rich food on an empty stomach, so don't you try and stop me."
"Stop you," said the kangaroo, "when you're heading in the right direction?"
Rincewind tried to slow down, but his method of running was very efficiently based on the idea that stopping was the last thing he'd do. Legs still moving, he ran out over the empty air and plunged into the void. The kangaroo looked down and, with a certain amount of satisfaction, wrinkled its nose.
"Arch-Chancellor!"
Ridcully awoke and sat up. The lecturer in recent runes was hurrying up, out of breath.
"The bursar and I went for a walk along the beach," he said. And can you guess where we ended up?"
"In Kidling Street, Quirm," said Ridcully tartly, brushing an exploring beetle off his beard. "That little bit by the tea shop with the trees in it."
"That's astonishing, Arch-Chancellor, because you know, in fact, we didn't. We wound up back here. We are on a tiny island."
"Were you having a rest?"
"A few moments cogitating," said Ridcully. "Any idea where we are yet, Mr. Stibbons?"
Ponder looked up from his notebook.
"I won't be able to work out that precisely until sundown, sir, but I think we're pretty close to the rim."
"And I think we found where the Professor of Cruel and Unusual Geography has been camping," said the lecturer in recent runes. He rummaged in a deep pocket. "There was a camp and a fireplace, bamboo furniture and what not, socks on a washing line, and this."